Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
So here we go with Lynette Riley.
Thank you. And I'll be performing an acknowledgement of country. Marang Nangeri Meng Lilegawarajari. Marang Nangeri Meng Lilegawadari. Meng Lilegawadari. Meng Lilegawadari. Meng Lilegawadari. Marang Nangeri. Marang Nangeri. It's with a great deal of pleasure that I am here this evening and to acknowledge our elders. Linda's a Wiradjuri woman, the same as I am, and our elders are passing on to her their congratulations. They had an elders meeting in Parks yesterday and just wanted to let her know that they're very proud of her, of what she's achieved and what she's yet to achieve. I also have a little surprise for Linda. And that is that not many people would know, but Linda's personal totem is the cockatoo. And the cockatoo is important because in our culture that's the messenger bird. And there's no better messenger for us than Linda. And it's not just about being a messenger, it's the way you present the message, because it's not always good news, it's not always bad news, but it's that we have somebody who speaks on our behalf. And so we want to present to Linda this evening a kangaroo skin cloak that I've designed for her. So that's... So as a representative of our... cultural group, our nation, we couldn't have a better person than Linda.
Okay, so great. Now, Professor Bashir is going to launch the book. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Gerard Henderson and Mrs. Anne Henderson, Executive Director and Deputy Director of the Sydney Institute. And what a joy and a privilege I feel from the depths of my heart, a very personal one, to have the honour to do this afternoon, Linda. It's wonderful to be here with you all. We've got Mr. John Robertson, Leader of the Opposition, and of course, our heroine, our guest of honour, the Honourable Linda Burney, Deputy Leader of the Opposition, and she's been so much to so many people, as you will all read. Honourable Carmel Tebbutt, another outstanding Australian woman. Author Mr. Beddo, Mr. Noel Beddo and his wife Vivian. The Honourable Nathan Rees, is Nathan here? We're expecting him. So many outstanding people. Justice the Honourable John Hatt, Sister Goss. And Lynette, thank you for your welcome to country, and may I too affirm my deep respect for the traditional custodians of this land, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and indeed all of Australia's Aboriginal people who've nurtured this continent for tens of thousands of years. And if I may be partisan like you, as an adopted Wiradjuri woman, especially the Wiradjuri, as Linda is.
So I'd like you to talk a bit more into that microphone. Mm.
Yeah, maybe I'm too tall. I'll take my shoes off. then I'll get down.
I'll reach it.
Well,
let's not on.
Ah, is that it? There you are.
The mic's on.
That's better. Is that better?
No, it was always on. The mic is on.
Thank you, Anne. Is that better?
Yes.
Well, truly, we've come here to learn about, and let me say, to honour an outstanding Australian, outstanding in every sense, certainly a woman of incredible courage, highly intelligent, and making a difference, contributing in so many ways to an even better Australia. And certainly, Linda began her life's journey in Wiradjuri country at Witten near Leeton, which is part of the beautiful Murrumbidgee Irrigation Area and where some of the finest fruits and vegetables on this planet are grown. Indeed. And certainly, for our heroine, may I say, from Noel Beddoes' fine biography, her early years could hardly be described as bountiful. As I read this moving chronicle, my heart turned over many times, and I'll confess as I held back the tears, for Linda's biological mother, a non-Aboriginal woman, walked out of the hospital following Linda's birth, leaving her to the care of ageing relatives, Nina and Billy, aunt and uncle, to Linda's mother. Then the school years followed, where few, if any, noted the exceptional resilience, the inner beauty of this wonderful woman, descended from a Wiradjuri father whom she met later in life. After these elderly relatives had become too frail to provide care, she was moved about, but ever determined to complete her education, eventually qualifying into that most essential of all professions, education. Indeed, it was as a most impressive officer in the field of education, as an educational Aboriginal consultant, that I first had the privilege of meeting Linda, proud indeed to extol her exceptional inner strength, her integrity, her intellectual energy. And that's when we were serving on to look at vulnerable children and to provide support to them. I was at the time working as a psychiatrist in the public centre with stressed adolescents. So our paths crossed on many occasions, always dedicated to the well-being of our children, especially any children being left behind. So we had much in common, and this fine biography introduces us to Linda's biological family and especially the musical talents of her non-Aboriginal father and her brother Colin. The very poignant occasion of her first ever meeting with him at a country and western performance will move you deeply, and what he said. Linda's reminiscences as a child and her ever-positive attitude may give some insight into the wonderful journey she has travelled. From a loving foster family, a love of reading, and a refusal to accept negativity, despite the understandable material limitations of those formative years. Following her successful completion of the school certificate years, in the Leeton High. It was off to Penrith High School, which she did not enjoy, but never ever gave up. You will be as moved as I when you read that on learning of the death of her biological mother, despite rarely having seen her, she attended the funeral with a sense of feeling and connection. You see that nobility of spirit there? Well, certainly, Penrith High had given her that great weapon of resilience and progress, an education that won her a Teachers College scholarship to become a teacher, the most vital and indispensable profession from which all else follows. It means one can share with others and make them resilient too. So Linda's journey took her into the New South Wales Department of Education, where in every sense she would be a powerful ambassador for the encouragement of our Aboriginal children towards educational attainment. The most powerful weapon of all is what Nelson Mandela, is how he described education. The various senior officers in the New South Wales Department of Education who were proud to support Linda's inspirational but quiet leadership are mentioned in this biography. They were aware of her extraordinary diligence, her attention to detail, and even if I may say, at the risk of being sexist, her impeccable grooming and great beauty. As the journey continues, we recall with some understandable pride that historic event, that day of reconciliation, the walk across Sydney Harbour Bridge. Never forget it, will we? In May 2000, when I too, with my children and grandchildren, felt some of the joy which comes of being one people, one destiny. Linda, as a member those days of the Reconciliation Council, had played a major role in so many of the Council's contributions, including that one, to national enlightenment, if I might say, not just reconciliation, but having the moat removed from the eyes of the others. But fate was indeed cruel beyond words. I recall the mounting anxiety in our hearts when we learnt of that wonderful man whom she'd met. Personal happiness was her due, and to me it seemed that this would come about through a most important friendship with a remarkable man, a man even described as visionary, Rick Farley. But fate was cruel beyond words. I recall the mounting anxiety in our hearts when we learned of Rick's dramatically acute illness, a condition which often results in immediate death, a form of stroke it is. And it's nothing that one influences oneself, it's in an artery in the brain area. But this courageous man, after 5 months of hospitalisation, was transferred from continuing care at a big teaching hospital into a non-acute setting. So his subsequent death in a runaway wheelchair, I remember that day, was a tragedy of immense proportion felt by all who knew Linda and Rick. Linda, because of her sheer hard work, her integrity, and the universal trust that people had in her, she'd been elected as the state member for Canterbury. And despite this overwhelming personal tragedy in her life, she went on to serve the people of New South Wales in a sequence of outstanding appointments of responsibility, massive responsibility, and under several premiers, and most recently is serving as deputy leader of the opposition to Mr. John Howard. For over 30 years, this superb Australian woman has served the people of New South Wales, all the people of New South Wales, regardless of political affiliation. All the people, all the children, through her wisdom, her capacity for inclusiveness in so many roles. It's awesome. Minister for Volunteering, Minister for Youth, Minister for Fair Trading, Minister for Women, Minister for Community Services, in my opinion, that's the hardest. Minister for the State Plan. The author, Mr. Meadow, has given us a glimpse, a memorable view of this wonderful Australian, a model for women everywhere and an inspiration to all. I am indeed proud to have been asked to launch Linda Unfinished Journey, and I commend this unforgettable story of her life to you all. And Linda, to wish you every day for the rest of your life in great fulfillment. And thank you for what you are.
Many thanks to Professor Bashir. Carmel Tippett is going to introduce... What?
Wrong.
Sorry. Who wrote these notes? Sorry. Noel. The author, Noel Beddoe.
Supposed to be a right-wing think tank. This, I think, is the third time that Linda and I have appeared here, and I don't think we're noted as great right-wingers. And indeed, it's my fourth time. Professor Bashir, Gerard, the Honourable Carmel Tebbutt, Linda, ladies and gentlemen. Let me firstly acknowledge with Lynn that we meet on the lands of the Gadigal clan of the Eora Nation, which they kept as their god Baiyame had created for 40,000 years. And that doesn't mean very much if you say it quickly and don't think about it. The Eora people never gave away their land, and they never sold it, and they never ceded it to anyone as a result of war. It is, of course, a singular privilege to achieve a partnership to walk through someone's life from birth until the present time. Linda mentioned in our discussions many of the generosities and friendships which she has encountered in her lifetime and of which she is deeply appreciative. She has also told me of the extraordinary tragedies she has faced. And people who are in this audience, to whom also I spoke, have told me their experiences of some very dark and tragic days. My friend Ross Fitzgerald, Professor Ross Fitzgerald, who can't be here tonight and sends an apology, once met with me so that we could discuss his view. He's emeritus professor of politics at Griffith University. Linda's significance in the overall political scene of Australia. And I remember memorably his saying, what she faced at different points of her life, indeed from its first moment, would have destroyed many people. And in saying they would have been destroyed, I believe Ross was saying that many people would have been made bitter and reclusive and selfish and wounded by experiences less than Linda Burney has had to cope with. And as I worked with her and with others, the thing that struck me most powerfully was not that she survived these things to become a highly valued member of the teaching staff of Lethbridge Park Public School. It was not that she became one of the key leaders of that movement seeking to redress wrongs for Aboriginal people. It was not that she became a leader for us all. And I endorse the remarks of Professor Bashir. Who can forget that remarkable day, that bitterly cold day on the Sydney Harbour Bridge when we crossed it together in our hundreds of thousands with this remarkable woman to say that what has happened in our nation is a stain and we must work on it together. Extraordinary of all these, as all of these accomplishments have been, the most remarkable thing to me about Linda Burney, in all that she's been through and all that she's accomplished, is that she remains the same generous, loyal, funny, humble person that I first met in 1980 And as 34 years ago, kid. And as Nigel Parbury has pointed out, not only has she made that person, but she still knows how to have a good time. And indeed, in the book, having wrestled it from her, there is a photograph of Linda with one gorgeous arm above her head in a slightly revealing ball gown, a glass of champagne in the other hand, dancing barefoot on a table. And I've got that photograph and I'm keeping it unless I'm paid a lot of money. That's enough from me, I think, to you all. Thanks for coming. I realise that you're here for Linda, not for me. For those of you for whom a celebration of Christmas is an appropriate thing, you have my best wishes for a joyful and successful Christmas season. And I hope in reading the book you get some small percentage of the great joy and satisfaction I had in writing it.
We're all back in sync now, Carmel Tibbet.
Thanks very much, Jared. And good evening to everyone here tonight. I also want to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we stand on and pay my respects to elders past and present and to thank Lynette for that wonderful welcome to country. So many of Linda's friends and colleagues and family here in this room, a wonderful celebration of the person that we know and love, Linda Burney. And I feel very honoured to be asked to introduce Linda tonight at the launch of Noel Beddoe's book about Linda, Unfinished Journey. Linda and I have known each other for some 15 years or so. We're colleagues together in the New South Wales Parliament, but more importantly, we are friends. And it's a friendship that has sustained me on many occasions. In an environment that is known for its robustness and, frankly, sometimes downright nastiness, Linda Burney manages to sustain friendships across the political divide. She has many friends in the New South Wales Parliament. Some of them are here tonight, again, from across the political divide. And it's a great mark of the person that Linda is, that she is able to do that. She's held in high regard by her colleagues. I know a little bit about Linda's early life, and we've heard from the previous speakers, from Noel and Professor Bashir, a lot more. She grew up in Witten, a little town in the Riverina. She was raised by her aunt and uncle, Nina and Billy. She didn't meet her father until much later in life. She left Witten to study her high school certificate at Penrith, later went to Mitchell College, now Charles Sturt University, to gain a teaching degree. Linda occasionally shared some of the stories of her childhood, but not a lot, but you certainly got the sense that despite the fact that her auntie and uncle showed her much love and security, it was a pretty tough upbringing and they were tough times. And when you look at Linda today, it's not always easy to see the girl from Witten in the smart, stylish and eloquent woman that Linda is. But if you look a little bit more closely, you can see that Linda is grounded in those early life experiences. Linda's compassion, her humanity and her extraordinary ability to reach out to people and to bring them into her circle of warmth all come from those early experiences of life. Linda knows what it's like to experience hardship. She knows what it's like to be an outsider. She knows what it's like to feel dislocation. And she has used those early experiences to fuel a commitment to make the world a better place. And what a commitment that is, and what achievements she has succeeded.